that you have given us, it is truly your day. It is a day of thanksgiving. It is a day of praise. It is a day of adoration. It is a day that we gather together to let you know how much we love you, to ask the Holy Spirit to give us spiritual understanding of your spiritual word, so we may function in the proper spiritual way in your kingdom. We thank you for the living word that has come from you, that is absolute truth and absolute reality, to give us the understanding that we need now and in the future that is coming. We are thankful for Jesus, that he is the Lord and Savior, and that is non-negotiable. We are thankful for what he has done for us, paying our sin debt in full. We are thankful for the privilege that he gives us salvation to receive. And when we receive his salvation, we are signed, sealed, and delivered. It is forever. And in salvation, there are many, many facets that need to be discovered and identified. We thank you for this Matthew chapter 24. As Jesus answers a lot of questions the disciples had and we have today about what is coming next, what is coming in the future. When will Jesus come again? What will the tribulation be like? What will the millennial be like? What will the great white throne judgment be like? And if I'm saved now, does that mean I'm saved forever? I am thankful that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ and not of ourselves, lest we would surely want to boast and brag about it. Thank you for loving us. Holy Spirit, be our teacher. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to take your printout as we begin this morning. You'll notice we're in Matthew chapter 24, verse 15. Actually, verses 15 through 21. The title is, "To Whom is Jesus Speaking?" We know Jesus is speaking to the 12 disciples, but he's also speaking to every human being that is going to be born after the 12. And he's especially speaking to those who are in the tribulation period that are unsaved. For you see, at the rapture of the church, and that is the next big event in the church age, every believer on planet Earth is going to be caught up in the air to be with the Lord Jesus Christ forever. Amen. And only unbelievers are going to be left on the earth to step into the 7-year tribulation period. There's something that's going to happen in the middle of that 7 years. That's something that's going to happen is going to be something like we've never heard of in the history of the world, much less seen. And you know, if the rapture were to occur tonight, then the tribulation follow, and you go into the 7-year tribulation, you need to know what you're about to read and understand. Because what you will witness in the tribulation temple is something that you're going to want to understand, so you will know how to react even as an unbeliever. I would hope after seeing this, if you were an unbeliever at that time, the middle of the 7 years in the tribulation period, that this would cause you to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. People ask me this question a lot. Will there be people saved during the 7-year tribulation period? The answer is yes. There will be Gentiles saved and there will be Jews saved also. There are some that believe and teach, if you refuse salvation in the age of grace and you step into the 7-year tribulation, of course, as an unbeliever, will God give you another opportunity to be saved? The answer is yes, that can happen, but it's going to be very difficult. During the age of grace that we are in at this moment, that began on the day of Pentecost and will end at the rapture of the church, we can pretty easily come to Jesus Christ without any harassment and receive Him as our personal Lord and Savior. During the 7-year tribulation period, if you happen to be in there as an unbeliever, it will be very difficult to receive the message of the gospel. More than likely, it will cost you your life if you receive Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior at that time. If you do receive Him, that means that you will not be receiving the mark of the beast. We say 666. Now, in order to buy food and make a living and take care of your family, you're going to need food in that 7-year tribulation time. Is that correct? If you become a Christian, you're going to be marked. And guess what's going to happen to you as a child of God? You won't be able to work. You're a Christian now. You won't be able to buy food. They'll hate your guts as they hate the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, your family is going to slowly starve to death. As a father, if you happen to be there and your whole family is there, you did not take the responsibility of leading to Christ during the age of grace, then you're going to decide which one of your family is going to die first. Which ones are we going to feed the most that are most important? Which ones will get the least? Because they will seem to be the least important. It's not going to be a picnic during the 7-year tribulation period. It's going to be a living hell on earth. God is going to pour out His wrath on an unrepentant world, and Satan is going to pour out his wrath on mankind. So you can see, some say, well, I'll just take my chances if I don't get saved now in the age of grace. I'll step into the tribulation and I'll make that decision to receive Christ as Savior. I want you to listen to what I'm about to say. That probably will not happen. It will be extremely difficult because you're going to value your life in the 7-year tribulation just like you did during the age of grace. And when you are told, we will kill you, we will persecute you, we will harass you, we will take away everything that it will take for you to exist, you and your family. Can you really trust Christ in an environment like that? If it's so easy to do now, you think you'll do it then? I want you to take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 24, beginning with verse 15. We're going to read verses 15 through 21. Here is verse 15. Matthew 24, so when you see, underline the word you, would you say that he's talking to the 12 disciples at this time? What's your answer? Yes. Here's something that also was revealed to me in the study this morning, the word you. So we are talking to the 12 disciples, that's evident. But the word you will also refer to that individual that didn't get saved during the age of grace. The rapture occurs. They're thrown into the 7-year tribulation. Will they not also see this? So you can say it is a reference to the 12. It is also a reference to those that will be in the 7-year tribulation period. Saved, unsaved. So when you see the abomination of desolation, the appalling sacrilege that astonishes and makes desolate, spoken of by the prophet Daniel, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. In the Greek, that says, pay special attention to what you are reading. Verse 16. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains for refuge. Who are we talking about right here? Who is he pinpointing? The Jewish people. Verse 17. Whoever is on the housetop must not go down to get things that are in his house, because there will not be enough time. Time will be of the essence. Whoever is in the field must not turn back to get his coat. And woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. Verse 20, pray that your flight from persecution and suffering will not be in winter or on a Sabbath when Jewish laws prohibit travel. Verse 21, for at that time there will be a great tribulation. The words great and tribulation refer to the middle of the 7-year tribulation. So we are talking about the last 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation. It is a time that all hell is going to break loose on earth. For at that time there will be great tribulation, pressure, distress, oppression, such as has not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will again. What you have just read is a divine decree that was established by the Holy Trinity in eternity past, when nothing existed but God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now let's go back to the printout. Verse 15a. So when you see, underline the word see. The word see means to understand the event and know what to do. I'll reread that. To understand the event and know what to do. So when you see, when you understand the event and know what to do, then do what I have told you, and we've just read it. So when you see, when you understand, when you mentally perceive, when you have the spiritual understanding that is needed in reference to what is spiritually, physically taking place. And here's what he's saying. When you see with your physical eyes, there must be connected to physical seeing a spiritual seeing. You must understand that everything you look at physical has a spiritual behind it. And that's what he's saying here. Understand the physical and understand the spiritual meaning of this. So when you see the abomination of desolation, the appalling sacrilege that astonishes and makes desolate, spoken of by the prophet Daniel. All right, take your Bible and turn to Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, which is going to be a key to understanding what follows. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. I am reading out of the Amplified Study Bible, so my Bible is going to read a little bit different from yours. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. Verse 27 says, and he will enter. Who is he here? Antichrist. He is the Antichrist. Now stop there. Here's the question that people ask, and it's a legitimate question. Is the Antichrist alive today? The way I see it, he is alive today. Go back to Satan. Satan is a created being. As a created being, Satan is not all-knowing. So he does not know when the rapture is going to take place. The Antichrist could not be a baby being born at that time, because we only have 7 years to work with. So when you talk about the Antichrist, he has to be of young adult age. Does the person that is standing in the wings today, does he know he is the Antichrist? No, he doesn't. Since Satan does not know and has to have a man standing by at all times. So when the rapture does occur, then Satan is going to enter the individual that is on hold to be the Antichrist at that time. Do we understand that? Okay. And he will enter into a binding and irrevocable covenant with many for 1 week. That's 7 years. That's the tribulation. But in the middle of the week, in the middle of the 7 years, he, the Antichrist, will stop the sacrifice and grain offering. Now, so you're telling me that a temple is going to be built. Is that correct? All right. A temple is going to be built that is known as the Tribulation Temple. Now, someone told me a long time ago that why would they bring back sacrifices as they used to do in the Old Testament? I really don't understand that, and I don't have an answer for that. But I know in order to stop the sacrifices, then we had to have sacrifices in order for them to be stopped, okay? This is going to happen in the middle of the 7 year period. For the remaining 3.5 years, and on the wing of abominations, will come one who makes desolate even until the complete destruction, one that is decreed. You can say a divine decree. So this is set in stone. It is non-negotiable. It is something that no one, no power or force is going to change. One that is decreed is poured out on the one who causes the horror. All right, let's go back to the printout under 9:27, Daniel. The prince, you'll notice in parentheses, the Antichrist, is going to make a 7-year treaty. Is the world at this point so in turmoil that it's going to be easy for a man to step upon the scene and say to the world, who is full of adversity, hardships, and trials, to say, I have all the answers to the problems of the world? That's going to happen. And the world is going to be in such shape that they're going to easily receive this man bringing in false hope and a false treaty. But that will not be unveiled until the middle of the 7-year tribulation period. The Jews are going to think this is the greatest man that has hit planet Earth. But then in the middle of the 7-year tribulation period, the Antichrist is unveiled. What he sets up in the temple is going to blow the minds of the Jews, and therefore they're going to see this man for who he really is. All right, let's continue. The prince, the Antichrist, is going to make a 7-year treaty. And it's going to sound good, it's going to look good, but it's going to be false in every way. And in the middle of the 7 years, he's going to cause the sacrifice and oblation to stop. Verse 15. So when you see, that is, understand the event and know what to do about it. So when you see the abomination of desolation, the appalling sacrilege that astonishes and makes desolate, spoken of by the prophet Daniel. So there's your key to understanding right here. Standing in the holy place. All right, let's look at the paragraph below that. The Antichrist is going to come down to Jerusalem and go into the temple. Now, let's stop there and make a few notes. Number one, this is the tribulation temple that is going to be built on exactly the right site. All right, here's some notes I want to share with you. Number one, today the cornerstone of the tribulation temple has already been cut and already been dedicated. So the cornerstone is ready for the rest of the temple to proceed from that cornerstone that has already been cut and dedicated. So it's ready to go. Number two, the red heifers are already in Jerusalem. They are already in Israel. So we don't have to wait for red heifers. They are already there. Okay, so that's no problem. Then number three, the priest clothing that the priest will wear during the sacrifices in this temple. It is all completed. And the last thing is all the utensils that are going to be used in the sacrifices that are going to come back, like the Old Testament sacrifices, they have already been put together. They are already ready to go and put into service at this very moment. So there's nothing to be done. There is nothing lacking. It is up to God to say to Jesus at the right moment, go and get my children. And that is when the rapture is going to take place. And it says the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Those that are in the ground will be caught up first to meet the Lord in the air. And then we which are alive will be caught up. So there is an order in the rapture, the resurrection of believers. Now, some people ask me, because this is real popular today, it costs a lot of money to bury somebody the way we used to do it. Now, cremation is very popular. And a lot of people ask me, is it okay to cremate someone? You can do it either way that you want, whatever you want to do. But is cremation a sin in the eyes of God? No, it's not. Will God be able to take all those ashes, wherever they are scattered or whatever they are in, and will He be able to bring forth a resurrection, glorified body from that? The answer is absolutely yes. If the ashes have been scattered in the oceans, that's going to be no problem for God. During the military, during our wars, how did they bury if you were on ships at sea? You were slid off into the water. Well, is that going to be a problem? Let me ask you this. If Jesus Christ can create the universe, do you think that's going to be a problem with Him?
No.
I don't think so. Okay, here we go. Now, let's go back to it. The Antichrist is going to come down to Jerusalem, go into the tribulation temple that is ready to start building, that has been rebuilt and has been used for the past 3.5 years, or at least part of the time. And he's going to suddenly turn on the Jew. He's going to defile the temple, even as, make a correction here, as Antiochus did back in 300 B.C. And that's the abomination that Daniel spoke of, and that's what Jesus is speaking of. Now I want you to listen, or you're going to get really mixed up right here. Now Jesus says, when you see this happen. Now what had already happened? Well, Antiochus had already happened, right? Antiochus Epiphanes, number 4. We already have that. So some writers and commentaries say that's who he's talking about. But let me tell you something. That was a long time back, okay? When you talk in this kind of language that Jesus is talking about, he's referring to more than one historical events. When he speaks of divine oracle, he's speaking of more than one event in history. Keep that in mind. Here we go. Now Jesus says, when you see this happen, and he's talking to the 12. So what do you think the 12 thought in their own minds? That this was going to happen in their lifetime. Stay with me. They had no idea that it was going to be postponed. What was going to happen during this time that things were going to be postponed? The church age was coming in. The age of grace was coming in. The gospel of grace was going to be preached. And listen to this. The gospel of the kingdom. Remember the distinction? The apostle Paul was caught up to the third heaven. He was given the gospel of grace. And when he came back, what did he say to Peter and all of them? I have been called to preach the gospel of grace to the Gentiles. But Jesus and the 12 and Peter and some others, they preached the gospel of the kingdom to the Jews. Now, what were the Jews looking for when Jesus was in their presence? That when the Messiah did come, what was he going to do according to the Jewish mindset? He was going to set up his kingdom. He was going to destroy Rome and its army. And who was going to rule? The Jews were going to rule under the Messiah. But listen to what Jesus is saying. I'm not here to set up my kingdom. I am here to preach to you the kingdom, that I am the Messiah. I have come. I am on the earth. I am the God-man that you are looking at. And all the fullness of the Godhead is in me. Understand it. They didn't. So what happens? Let's read. So what do you think the 12 thought in their own minds that this was going to happen in their lifetime? They had no idea that it was going to be postponed and put way out into the future. When Jesus spoke to the 12, he was leaping the ages, but he was still speaking to who? The nation of Israel, and not to the Gentile nations. Listen, this is Israel's ground. This is Jewish ground. The 7-year tribulation is mainly about the nation of Israel. To call the Jew home to the kingdom and the Messiah of that kingdom. But he was still speaking to the nation of Israel, not to the Gentile nations. This is Israel's ground. It's Jewish ground. So he says, when you see that spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him pay attention. Now, what do you need to do when you read what is printed in Daniel? Three things. Number one, if you're going to understand it, you're going to have to learn to be obedient to the Word of God. Secondly, it's going to take prayer if you're going to understand. And thirdly, it's going to take spiritual discernment if you are going to understand the things you are asked to understand. Now look at that last statement at the bottom of page 1. He says, come down to verse 21. Jesus is unveiling the last 3.5 years of Daniel's 70th week. Top of page 2. Now, here is verse 21, top of page 2. For then shall be great tribulation, you know what that is by now, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, not ever shall be. Any horrible event that you can think of in history is nothing compared to what this last 3.5 years is going to be. Let me say it one more time. In the last 3.5 years, God is going to pour out His wrath on unrepentant mankind. And also at the same time, Satan is going to pour out his wrath also. You have the Holocaust of Hitler's Germany. It was bad. It was horrific. It was awful. But it's going to be nothing compared to this last 3.5 years. Verse 16. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Look at the word then. It is very important. The word then in the Greek language is a time word. Jesus says, then, at that point in time, when the Antichrist comes in and defiles the temple and causes the Jews to stop their worship and their Old Testament system, then he says, let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Verse 17, let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Look at what it says in describing verse 17. Here Jesus is referring to people who are very well-to-do, very well-off, who had made a good living, who were no longer in the mainstream workforce, but were now enjoying a life of relative ease on their patio, on the rooftop. Now Jesus says to that remnant of Jews, stop there. Will all Jews in the tribulation be saved? That's not going to happen. What does it say? Around 2/3 of the Jews are going to be what? Persecuted. They're going to be killed. So you're going to have a small remnant of Jews that are going to be actual believers in their Messiah, Jesus Christ. This may shock you. In Tel Aviv is known as the homosexual city and the biggest city of that today. And where is it? In Israel. Because everybody says, boy, if you're in Israel, you're automatically going to heaven. You're automatically going to be saved. These Jews are just like America. You have those that are secular. You have those that believe and you have those that do not believe. And you have every kind of sin in Israel and Jerusalem. The Jews are not innocent. Two-thirds will be persecuted. A third will be left as a believing remnant that will survive. Here's the question. What class of people is going to be more concerned about the clothes in their closets than they are about getting out of a place of danger? It's going to be the wealthy. Now you can imagine this. I've been to Israel. I've seen those homes. And the wealthy do spend a lot of time on the top of that home. It's very flat. It's called a patio or some other name if you want to call it by that. And they spend a lot of time up there because they've got a life of ease. They've made a really good living and they have that privilege to do that. Now, you think about this for a moment. When it's time to flee, the Antichrist has revealed who he is. What does Jesus say? Don't even bother to take your nice dresses with you. Don't even go down into your house and get your nice suits. He says the danger is going to be so great. Get off of the rooftop. Don't go back in the house and go where I tell you to go. All right, let's go to the next page here. Page 3. Notice verse 18. And let him who is in the field not turn back to get his overcoat. Here we have the class of working people. We've had the wealthy people. Now we've got the working people. Probably between the age of 25 and retirement age. To this class of people, Jesus says, regardless of where you are working, when you hear the temple has been defiled, move out to the mountains immediately if you want to escape. Verse 19. And alas, for the women who are pregnant and for those who have nursing babies in those days. You're talking about young mothers between 20 years and 30 years of age. They'll have to walk a long ways. That'll be a tough time. Have you ever had a 2-year-old? Have you ever had a 3-year-old? Can you imagine trying to drag them along and at the same time they're saying, slow down, slow down. What's wrong with you, Daddy? What's wrong with you, Mama? I can't walk this fast. I'm having a hard time. Will you carry me? You can imagine all of that going on right there. Well, then you got verse 20. Pray that your flight may not be in winter or on a Sabbath. Now, does it get cold in Israel? You bet it does. It gets real wintry and cold over there. The temple is rebuilt. It is in full operation. The Jews' concern on the Sabbath day, listen to this, they will still honor that Sabbath day. The law, and how far can they walk without breaking it? Look at the answer, 4,000 feet. What is that particular Jew going to have to do? He's going to have to make up his mind. She's going to have to make up her mind what they are going to do. Are we going to believe in Christ? Are we going to obey Him and do what He has told us to do? Or are we just going to obey the law and die by the law? All right, verse 21. For then there will be great tribulation, affliction, distress, and oppression, such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now, no, and never will be again. Please look at it. The first 3.5 years of the tribulation is not going to be a picnic. Beginning at the midpoint of the 7 years, you will have the outpouring of Satan's wrath and also the outpouring of God's wrath on the whole human race. There will be hailstones that will weigh 200 to 300 pounds. and they will pound the earth. Part of the green grass, much of it, is going to be burned. Your drinking water that will be precious at that moment, a lot of it is going to be poisoned. A lot of water in the oceans is going to be turned into blood. That blood will coagulate. Did you know what coagulated blood is? It means you can stick your finger in it and it is hard to stir it. It's not fluid, okay, as it is when it comes out. So there's going to be that. Can you imagine how fish will not be able to survive in that? Ships are not going to be able to sail in that. Can you imagine the stench of animals that are going to be killed in our ocean waters? That is just a little bit of what is going to take place. There will be lawlessness. Everybody's going to be looking out for themselves. There's going to be murder at a high rate. Everything they can think of to survive. If it means kill you, take from you, rob from you, that's exactly what's going to be done in order for them to survive, for anyone to survive. Unless those days are shortened, God says, even the very elect would be gone. Why am I saying this? Number one, because Jesus said it. Number two, Jesus said, when you read this, you better pay special attention and you better ask for spiritual understanding, and then you better ask for perseverance and boldness. So if this happens and you happen to be in it, you'll know what you need to do. Do you need to be saved? You want to go in the 7-year tribulation period? I hadn't even touched it yet. Wait till we get into the book of Revelation when I get through with Matthew 24. I don't know how anybody can hear this and say, I'm okay without Christ. So here's the invitation. You know what's coming. It's non-negotiable. And I got news for you. The Democrats can't stop it. I know they're in predicting the future. Kamala, Cortez, remember? If we don't get a handle on this green, on this what, climate control, the world's going to end in 12 years. If we don't get a handle on climate control, the world's going to end in 12 years. Do you believe that? I don't. It's already been ordained. And it's in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I've tickled your fancy a little bit this morning. I hope you'll keep coming and we hit the book of Revelation, because there's so much to add to it that's been happening since the last time we were in it. It won't be the same. But I do invite you to receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You're saved by grace. He paid your sin debt in full. So when it's time to be saved, don't let Satan say to you, you've got too much sin in your life. You've done too many bad things. Here's the answer that goes back to him. Jesus Christ paid it all. All to him I owe. Jesus paid my sin debt in full. The only thing that will keep me out of heaven is unbelief. Unbelief. Not my sins. They've been paid for. Would you bow your heads? Salvation is yours. Jesus is ready to give it. He's always anxious to give salvation to his people. You're never too old. Don't ever be embarrassed, because this is eternity we're talking about and where you'll spend it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words that you have given us in the Bible. Absolute truth and absolute reality. We thank you for allowing us to see and to understand the horror that is coming. And again, it's non-negotiable. Nobody on earth can stop what's coming from the hand of God. But by His grace, He gives us tremendous warning. It is warning filled with grace and tremendous love and sacrifice from Him. You know, I don't know when Jesus is coming, but He'll come as a thief in the night when you least expect it. And when He comes, if you're not saved, you'll enter that 7-year tribulation. And I'll say this for you, you'll wish to God you had. You'll think of the moments you had to be saved. You'll think of the invitations that you sat under. You'll even remember the feeling you had when the Holy Spirit was wooing you, bringing conviction to you. Then there's a living hell. It's forever. He'll give you a body that fire will not consume. He'll give you a memory that fire cannot consume either. It's grace today, filled with His love. So if you haven't received Christ, please open your heart to do that. Because with all the turmoil that's happening all over the world today, I wonder how long you'll wait. For it seems like the world is ripe and getting riper for one man to come upon the scene and says, "Don't worry about it anymore. I've got the answers." Father, thank you that you've taken the veil away from our eyes, that we can see the real Messiah, the real Christ, the real sacrifice, the real grace. Thank you for loving us, for taking care of our every need, for guiding us through what we cannot see nor understand to safety on the other shore. We love you. We thank you for loving us as you do. Now in Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen and amen. Let's stand.
All to Jesus I surrender. I
93? Okay. I don't normally do this, but I think this is special for him. You know, he came up here, you saw him. 93 years old. Here's what he said. I want a closer walk with Jesus.
Amen.
93. Most of them would say, I reached this age, what the heck? Never too old to be satisfied with what you got. He's had it a long time. I want to get closer. That's called intimacy. Yeah. So I got a long time to practice getting close, hadn't I? Yeah. I appreciate that, Mr. Willis. I do. We'll never get too close down here. We'll never be too intimate with Him. But long as we stay walking in that direction, that's what it's all about, right? God.
Thank you, Pastor. What a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. Amen. I want to say welcome to all our guests. And if you are a guest to Haynesville, do us a favor. There's a little perforated tab in your bulletin. Fill that out and place it in the offering plate, and that just helps us get to know you better. A few announcements to kind of bring to your attention, highlight our Refuel Wednesday nights. That's the midweek service that we do here at Haynesville. This Wednesday's Bible study at 6:30, and First Praise Choir after that. It's just an awesome time. If you've considered being a part of First Praise, I invite you. We're working on Easter right now. It's going to be great. And then our women's ministry spring luncheon, Happy Days. Is that like Ron Howard, Happy Days? All right, Fonzie. I'm just kidding. Showing my age here. All right, Saturday, April the 6th, tickets on sale, and sign-up sheets are in the back. They need servers. Ladies, we still need door prizes. You can put them in the office or give them to Greta. Any other words of wisdom? So you're volunteering to get paid. Sure. Lots of places to serve is what I mean. There's, you've got an opportunity to bless somebody. So that if you're interested in that, see them about that. That'd be great. Vacation Bible School meeting has been rescheduled for March the 3rd at 5 p.m. Make sure if that applies to you, you're aware of that. And there is gifts that have been, or if you're interested in sharing, bringing some stuff to the nursery, we ask you to do this. We're so blessed and appreciate anyone that's willing to do that. But check with the nursery first so they can know in case there's a surplus of something that they already have. So if you're interested in doing that or have something you want to bring, make sure you check with the nursery first, and that would be great. The youth would like to thank everyone for their support and participation in the talent show and Valentine dinner. They raised, wow, $1,087. That's incredible. That's awesome. Amen. And there's a donation of $300 was made to the Building Maintenance Fund in memory of Polly Howard. So we want to bring those to your attention. We've got quite a few birthdays. Charlie Porter, 18th, we already mentioned. Mr. Willis's birthday. Junior's on the 19th. And little girl Callie Clearman's becoming a big, I can't believe she's going to be 14. That's amazing. Her birthday's this week. And Don's birthday, Patsy, and ours. Lots of good birthdays. So let's sing happy birthday to all those folks. If you're by one of those, make sure you squeeze them or something. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Amen. If our ushers would come forward as we continue in this morning's worship service, as we receive our tithes and offerings, would you pray with me? All good gifts come from you, dear Lord. And for these riches, we bring this offering. Help us to use it for the furtherance of your purpose in this place and for the benefits of those in need. Amen. Going to be at the back, and she'll be able to get your copy of that. We close our service this way. Stand, join hands across the aisles, and we sing this great statement of our faith. If you put the words on for us there, Katie, put that words. We believe. There we go. Here we go. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. We believe. It's true. God bless you. Have a great day.